would this morning take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. A lot of struggles in our old world, and I don't know how the lost face the days of life. Many of them have no idea of what it would be like any different. What they're living is just their natural life, and that's a part of their living. But you and I that know the Lord, isn't it a wonderful thing we know Him? Isn't it a wonderful thing that we can say that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? And this morning I'm going to preach on the subject of being redeemed. And I pray God would open our hearts, and that He would bless the reading of the Word of God and then the few comments that we might make. The Bible is so very clear on it that we shouldn't have to make a lot of comments. It's just pretty well given to us as people of God that we have been redeemed. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." What a wonderful verse. We have been given the spiritual blessings, and they are in heavenly places, and they're in Christ. The key to it is Christ. Notice verse number 4. "According as He hath chosen us in Him," or in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory, His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Every one of these verses has something to say about Him. It's in Him or in His grace. It's in because of Him. All those verses, every one of them, have something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And really and truly, we understand that the Bible, the central figure of the Word of God is Him. The central figure of God's Word is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing that we can find in these verses that we have been blessed of God. Those of us that have been saved, we've been blessed of the Lord, and we have those spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He hath chosen us in Him. That's the key to it. It's in Him. That's the thing that we really need to focus upon, and we've been predestinated to the adoption of children because of Christ, and He is predestinated that one day we shall be with Him and forever. And verse number 7 gives us the highlight, I believe, of these verses that we've read, because it tells us that we have redemption through His blood. And this morning I want us to think about that little word, redemption. Now if you have a good dictionary, and if you used to look up the word redemption, you'll find it has a lot of different meanings. I looked it up in the Webster's 1828. Now that, in my opinion, that's the best dictionary that you can have. He said, "Well, it must be outdated, 1828. No, it's been so taken, torn apart down through the years that a lot of the definitions we have are not anywhere near what it was in the original writing of the Webster's dictionary. And by the way, Noah Webster was a very dedicated child of God. He was a Christian, and much of his definitions are biblically based. That's what makes it such a great dictionary. You can still purchase those. They've been reprinted time and time again. And so if you want a good dictionary, I'll just put a plug in for it. Go buy you 1828 Webster's and you'll find some good things in that. And Webster's dictionary says, "Redemption is the repurchase of captured goods or prisoners." Well, that tells us a pretty good definition. It's the repurchase of something that has been captured. I'll tell you what, you and I, before we were ever born, we had been captured by the wickedness of this world, and we are sinners by nature, choice, practice, and we're sinners because Adam fell in the garden, and so we have to be bought, we have to be repurchased, and That's what redemption is. It goes on to say it's the act of procuring the deliverance of persons or things from the possession and power of the captors, and by payment of an equivalent ransom or release, as the redemption of prisoners taken in war, as an example. Another definition of redemption is deliverance from bondage, distress, or from liability of any evil. We are liable. We have been found guilty of wickedness in our heart, and so redemption takes care of that. And another definition in this dictionary says, in theology, now that's the one we're interested in this morning. In theology, the purchase of God's favor by the death and sufferings of Christ, the ransom or deliverance of sinners from the bondage of sin, and the penalty of God's violated law by the atonement of Christ. Now, I'll guarantee you won't find that in Webster's 2000 dictionary, but you'll find it in this one. And the redemption that we're talking about this morning in the study of God or the study of spiritual things is the purchase of God, His favor given to us by the sufferings of Christ. And we have been delivered as sinners from the bondage of sin and the penalties of God's violated law. God says, a man that sins, he shall die. And that's the law, and no one gets away from that. A man's appointed unto death, and he's appointed unto to dying. And without God, he dies hopeless and helpless in the sight of the Lord. And so we must have redemption. And the Scripture says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The old song says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What a wonderful song that is. That tells you the truth of redemption. Another song says, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washes it white as snow. Well, we find that these old songs and these hymn writers, they understood what it meant to have redemption. It's redeemed. Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We just sang that song of redemption. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. Thank God it's a sealed, done deal that's forever and forever, everlasting life we know the Bible speaks of. And so these hymn writers of old, they could not have penned these words unless they had had the experience of redemption, being saved by the grace of God. So I want us to think just a little while this morning upon this subject of being redeemed. The agent of redemption, thank God, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's well known. Wouldn't even have to say that. But in order to get our minds and thoughts on this thing of salvation, we must understand, and I know we believe, I know we understand, that redemption comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by the things of this world. We're not saved by the good things of life. We are saved just because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died that we might have life. He is that one that brings us to a point of realizing that we're lost and undone. You see, a sinner left himself, if the Holy Spirit of God never deals with an individual, he'll never understand his lost condition. He'll never know that he needs God. But through the preaching of the Word of God and through the experiences of life, many times God uses and the Holy Spirit directs an individual, and they begin to understand that there's things missing in their life. And they don't have what somebody else has, and they don't have the hope, and they don't have the peace of understanding and knowing that heaven is real and heaven is before us and it's always going to be there as a child of God. And one day we're going there. The world without Christ does not have that hope. But the agent of us knowing that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit working in our lives, giving us understanding. You see, the only way that we know that we're going to heaven is because we have been enlightened by the Word of God. We've been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. We have been given instruction out of His Word. And we realize that we're saved by grace. And that grace is none other than the Lord Jesus. The Bible in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. even the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to let you take just a moment as I'm talking, and I want you to think about some of the sins in your life. Now, don't raise your hand and let me tell you about them. I don't want to know them. And you don't want to tell them either. And don't expect me to do the same. I'm not going to tell mine. But we all have those things in our heart. We all have those things in our life that have burdened us and the problems that come. And it may have been something this morning that the devil put before us. It may have been something that last night or yesterday that we just did something we shouldn't have done. But aren't you glad this morning that we have redemption from that? Aren't you glad that we have forgiveness of sins? Of the sin of life and the sins of living day by day and the sins of getting in this old wicked, terrible, dirty world and sometimes it cuts up on us and we find ourselves thinking what they're thinking and doing some of the things they do and acting like the world does, and all of a sudden we realize I ought not to do that because my sins have been forgiven. Jesus died that I might not live this way. But when we catch ourselves, and we do, I don't think it takes too long. Usually immediately if we say something, immediately if we do something, immediately if we find ourselves in a wrong position or wrong place, the Holy Spirit will say, you ought not to be here. You ought not to say that. You ought not to do that. You ought not to think that. Immediately that Holy Spirit, if we belong to Him because we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Though song says, you ask me why I'm happy, it's because my sins are gone. I'm glad they've been forgiven. I'm glad they're underneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have redemption through His name, through Jesus Christ, the Lord and our Savior. Romans 3, in verse number 24, says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. There's that word again, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that purchasing agent. He's the one that goes out. He's the one that is that purchaser. What was that definition a while ago? The repurchase of captured goods or prisoners. I'm glad the Lord took care of that on Calvary. I'm glad He handled that. I'm glad He had the ability. I'm glad He had the power to take care and to forgive all of my sins. Not only, just not mine only, but for yours also. He took care of those and He forgave us. And He's the agent that's gone out and repurchased. Large companies have purchasing agents. They try to find the best deal. They try to find the best buys. And they will go out and they'll purchase things for that particular company. And they'll take care of that. And they'll make sure that they have the best deal available. And they do it for their company. And so we find they are the purchasing agent. Well, you and I this morning, thank God, the purchasing agent of us is none other than Jesus Christ. And He found us, He bought us, He brought us unto Himself, and now we're a child of the King. Now we're a believer, all because of the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Not only is He the agent of redemption, but there's the instrument of redemption, and that's the blood of our Lord. Don't be fooling with the Scripture when it comes to the blood, because the blood's important. The blood is that element that God has chosen that would be shed for mankind, that their sins would be covered, and their sins would not only be covered, but be taken away because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18, and verse number 19 says, for as much as we know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things. And then he gives you some illustrations. As silver and gold. And then as from your vain or empty conversation or empty life received by traditions from your fathers. Now Peter was a very devout Jew. He had to be taught some lessons by the Lord upon this traditional stuff that come through the Jewish religion. The Lord takes care of that in the book of Acts with Peter and lets him know that there's nothing common or unclean when it comes to mankind. And so Peter, when he's writing his book, he says, I want you to know that we have not been redeemed by corruptible things that pass away. We're not redeemed with silver or gold or our riches. We're not going to heaven because of what we have. We're not going to heaven because of how much good we've done or how many things we have. And you're not going to heaven. You've not been redeemed by a vain lifestyle. And that word conversation means lifestyle. You're not going to heaven by the way you live. I know some religious people in our community that need to learn that. You don't go to heaven by the good deeds of your life. You don't go to heaven by your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. And Peter says, we don't have redemption because of that. We don't have that because of our riches. We don't have redemption because of the tradition of our fathers. I know some Baptist people ought to understand that verse. Baptist people are some of the most traditional people in the religious world. Well, we never did it that way. Well, that don't make it right. Well, we've never done it. We've never had it that way. That doesn't mean it can't change. We are traditional people. But the Lord says, through Peter, says, you're not saved by the traditions of our fathers. We are saved, what does he say? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And another portion of the Scripture says, before the foundation of the world. And so we find that our salvation, our redemption, is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, he could have taken any method, any way. God could have chosen anything he wanted in order for man to be redeemed. God could have put it in boxcar letters, and man could have put it in his word that in order for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl to go say, they must be a member of such and such type of church. He doesn't say that. He could have put it in his word that you have to be baptized in order to go to heaven. Now, some people believe that, but that's not what he says. He could have put it in his word that you got to live your life to the fullest and to the best and do the best you can and hold on, hold out, pray through, all those things, and then you'd go to heaven. He does not say that. But he does say that we can go to heaven because of the precious blood of Christ, and he is a lamb without spot or without blemish, without anything wrong. Thank God he died for us upon Calvary. He is the instrument of our redemption. He has saved us by his blood. Sometimes folks, they'll say, what do you think about this Bible? They don't ask that much. I just say, go find out what it says about the blood. Find out what it leaves out. Find out what it adds to. And then you'll find out what I believe. Because if it tampers with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is wrong and we do not need it. I'm not ashamed of the book that I carry. I'm not ashamed to say and to stand before you. And I don't think I would stand before you guilty when I say this is the Word of God. I understand it's a translation. I understand it's not the originals. And by the way, when somebody says the original, says they don't know it either because they're not read. They've been destroyed many, many years ago. We do have some copies. We have some things that we do have that we know. And this blessed old book was translated from those copies that were reliable. And so we find here that we have redemption through Jesus Christ, and the instrument of that is the blood of the Lord. He shed his blood that we might live. Now, there's the agent, there's the instrument. Now, what's the object of redemption? Raise your hand. We're the object. We are the one that he put his love upon. He is the one that looked upon us, and we are the recipients of the grace of God, in whom we have redemption. Christ has redeemed us. Galatians 3:13, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. We find that the Word of God tells us over and over again, it is us. It is we. It uses those pronouns that describe mankind and people. Romans 5 and verse number 6 through 8 says, for when we, that's us, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were sinners, thank God he died for us. Now there are people that have laid down their life for somebody else. There are soldiers across our world this morning that are risking their lives for our safety, and many of them give their life for us. And the Scripture says, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But Jesus Christ died for us knowing what we were, knowing how wicked we were, knowing how ungodly we were, knowing what kind of a sinner we were. He commended His love to us, to you and I. Thank God, I'm glad I'm the object of His redemption. I'm the one that He repurchased. I'm the one that had been captured. I was a prisoner. I was a prisoner to self. I was a prisoner to sin. I was a prisoner to Satan. And thank God He came and He purchased me. He took me back. You see, I belong, every one of God's creation belongs to Him by creation. But we've been lost because of sin. And one day Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to repurchase us, to bring us into the family of God, to adopt us, to birth us into His family. While we were without strength, Christ died for us. That word without strength just means when we were not able. I wasn't able to do it. Somebody says, well, I'm pretty good character. Well, when they feel that way, they're probably not as good as they think they are. When God looks at us, God sees us what we really are. You see, we get up in the morning, and we put the comb to our hair, and we put everything on that we have to have to make us look okay, presentable. Somebody says, oh, don't come see me. I don't have any makeup on. Well, God sees us without any makeup on. God sees our heart just as the way it is without any fixing. And I'm glad He can fix it. I'm glad He can take care of it. And while we were not able, while we were without strength, in due time, just at the right time, Christ, the Bible says, died for the ungodly. Now, how many ungodly are there? I don't know, but all of them's ungodly. And so that tells me that He died for all. He left it open, available to all that would believe, to call upon His name, to trust Him, to become a child of God. We are the recipients. We are the objects of God's grace. Then fourthly, there's some results of redemption. I like this. The results of redemption. I'm just going to pretty much list them, some of them to you. I don't have all of them. The Bible talks a lot about redemption. The Bible talks about in the New Testament, there's 11 verses found, 11 different times that you find the word redemption. And Luke 21 says, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know what that is? He's going to take us out of here. He's going to repurchase us again and take us from this world and this life to another world and another life. Thank God we're going to be redeemed that way. That's body, soul, and spirit. All these verses about redemption. Then I looked up the word redeemed. There's seven verses, seven times the word redeemed is found in the New Testament, and it's talking about you and I. Talking about people that have been saved by His grace. We have the forgiveness of sins. We've already talked about that. That's one of the results of redemption. We have deliverance from bondage. No longer am I in bondage in the chains of sin. We've been set free. The Scripture says that we are at liberty because of Him. He has set us free, and we're free indeed. We've been justified. Romans 5:8 says, much more than being now justified, how? By His blood. We have been saved from the wrath through Him. That wrath that is to come one day, I'm glad I have redemption. I'm glad I've been saved from that. We have been adopted. Somebody says, how can you be born into the family of God and be adopted also? There are different aspects, different ways that God looks at us and different legal terms that's used as we've been put into the family of the Lord. And so Galatians 4 and verse 4 through 6 says that we have had the adoption of sons. I read that a moment ago. And it says here, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. That we might receive what? The adoption of sons in the fullness of time. When the Lord saw fit, when the time was just right. And by the way, Jesus didn't come the first time early or late. He came right on time. And you know, the Jews, the condition of the Jews of that day when Jesus was born, they were looking, they were anticipating, they were desiring for their Redeemer to be born. They were looking for Jesus to come. They were looking for the Son of God. They were looking for their Messiah. They were looking for that one that would redeem them. And just at the right time, very right moment, He was made.
What does it say here?
Made of a woman.
Born of a virgin.
Made of a woman. And why did he come? That he might redeem us. And he might have life given. We have an eternal inheritance. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, "And for this cause he is the mediator of a new testament by the means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Peter tells us that we have an inheritance that's redeemed and reserved for us in heaven. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice what it's to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Somebody says, "How do you know you're going to heaven?" The Bible says, "It's reserved for me. It has been given to me, and it's an inheritance that is incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted." Jesus told them, said, "Don't put away don't lay up your treasures on earth where moth and rust come in, but lay your treasures up in heaven, and that's reserved for us that we one day shall receive." And so we have an eternal inheritance. It's an inheritance that's been given because that we have been redeemed. We are a child of God, and as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one day we shall have those things as ours. We're coming to that. It's undefiled. It doesn't fade away. I'm glad my inheritance doesn't get old. Somebody said, "I'm trying to leave a good inheritance for my children." But when something comes up tragic in your life, your inheritance is spent. It's over. It's gone. How many people have lost their inheritance? How many people have had to spend what they've put back because of a tragic thing or an incident in their life that they've had to take care of that and there's nothing left? Oh, but I'm glad, thank God, on the other side, it's undefiled. It doesn't fade away. It's always there. And then it tells me it's reserved in heaven for, one little word there, you. Why, that's the object of His redemption, you. We are His objects. Now He's left us an inheritance. Inheritance is there because of the death of the testator. He's the one that has died, and we know that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now one day we're going to experience the glories of heaven. And Jesus said that, "Where I am, there you may be also. I've gone prepare a place for you." And so that inheritance is waiting for us, and one day we shall experience that. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Titus 2, verse 11. Verse 12 says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself," notice this, "who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purifying Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work." That's us. I'm glad I've been redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19, a question is asked, one little word. It says, what? Paul writes to this Corinthian church, he says, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We do not belong to ourselves because we have been redeemed. When you go purchase something, it becomes yours. If you go buy a vehicle, if you go buy a farm, if you go buy a suit of clothes, whatever you buy, you have redeemed that. You have brought it to yourself, and it's yours. And you can do with it as you please. Well, same goes for us as a believer. We're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price, and the price was the blood of Jesus Christ. And He has brought us unto Himself, and He can do with us as He pleases. You know what pleases Him? One day He's going to present us unto Himself a bride, and we're going to be faultless just like Him. That's what pleases the Lord. Now, we need to remember, we didn't talk about redemption. And pretty much the benefits that we have from being redeemed. But may we never forget. And we do need to remember that the penalty of our sin is simply not that it has been canceled, but that it was paid for. You see, for me to go to heaven, there had to be a payment. For you to go to heaven, there had to be a payment made. For the law that is unchangeable with God says a man that sins, he shall die. For all have come short of the glory of God. And therefore he has to die. And so that's the penalty. And we're talking about being justified. We're talking about being redeemed. We're talking about being saved. But you know, a payment had to be made. And I'm glad I didn't have to make the payment. Because as the song says, I had a debt I could not pay. Thank God he paid a debt that he did not owe. He paid the debt. The song goes on and says, I needed someone to wash my sins away. Had to have someone. And now I can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Jesus Christ paid the debt that I could not pay. There was a payment. We read in the Scriptures, we read in the Gospels, we read historical accounts of the day that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Not a good scene. Oh, we read it sometimes and don't think too much about it, but it was a terrible scene from the time that they captured the Lord as Judas placed the kiss of betrayal upon the cheek of our Savior until the time he gives in his last statements there on the cross. What a terrible state of things. You know what was happening that time? In those days that led up to the death of the Lord, you know what he was doing? He was paying the price that I could not pay. I couldn't do it. It's appointed to man once to die. And after this, the judgment. I'm glad the Lord took my judgment. I'm glad He laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. And therefore, we can have life through Him. We have been redeemed. We can rejoice and sing the songs of redemption. We can rejoice and sing all the things and to think about all the joys of because I'm a Christian, this is what I have. But may we never forget what it took for us to be a Christian. May we never forget the payment that had to be made. Someone had to die. And here we have the Son of God hanging upon the cross. And the Bible says, cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. There he is hanging before mankind. He has already been beaten. He has already been scourged with the cat of nine tails. His back is laid open and the wounds are there and the blood is dripping. He has been given a crown of thorns and mockery. And he's hanging there. And the Bible says that those soldiers beneath the cross, they cast lots for his clothes. He's hanging there suspended between heaven and earth. And he wasn't hanging there the way the pictures betray him. He was hanging there naked before the world. And the sin of mankind was placed upon him. No wonder God turned his back that day. And the darkness fell upon the earth in midday. For those hours, and their redemption was being purchased. There was the ability for me to come one day and say, I believe. I'd have never done that if he hadn't died on Calvary. I'd have never been able to purchase my own self because I was guilty. But the Bible says that, and Pilate was truthful. He said, I find no fault in him. And the Bible says there was no guile found in his mouth. The Bible says that he was perfect in all of his ways. The Bible says he had no sin. But then it turns around and says that our sins were placed upon him. And then it says he was made sin, who knew no sin, that I might have the righteousness of God
And we can go on and can add a statement or two of that, who had no righteousness at all. He had no sin and was made sin. I have righteousness who had no righteousness, all because one day He redeemed. He went about to repurchase the prized possession of mankind. Aren't you glad this morning that we can sing the song, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praises unto Him forever and forever for what He has given. Because we did have a debt, and we could not pay it. Try as you will, you cannot pay the debt. You can spend all your goods, and you're still not going to pay the debt. You can spend all your life, you're still not going to pay the debt. You can give everything that you have, and still, because you have to have someone else. You see, we've already been spent. Our livelihood, everything about us is already contaminated. But He was perfect. He was pure. He was sinless. He was spotless. And He died to wash away our sins. I've been redeemed. Wonderful word, just a little short word. Redeemed. And we have it today because of what Christ paid that day. So may we never just think about that we have redemption, but may we always put with that an understanding that it was paid for by someone. I didn't pay it, but He did. Thank God for salvation. Let's stand together this morning.